book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. It's been a while since we've looked into these, or this book on Wednesday evening. We'll try to come back to a place we had dealt with the first three verses, I believe it was, just a few weeks ago. We were to lay aside some things, to desire some things, and to taste and see that the Lord is good. Tonight I want to read verses 4 and 5 and just deal with a few thoughts that we'll find in these verses and let it encourage us before we go into our season of prayer. Verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There's two thoughts here, of course. There's the living stone, and then the lively stones are we that are the little stones that are living because of the one who died on the cross and now lives eternally. The one who could say, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. But in this particular portion of the scriptures, we find this, of course, right after taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And then he speaks in a sense of explanation of the Lord that we're going to come to. And we are coming to a living stone tonight. We're not dealing with a dead Savior. Sad to say, a lot of folks have never found that truth in reality in their lives, have become very religious. They've given themselves in pursuit of that which is what I like to think of as abstract. It's apart from and separate, and not really a part of life, not really alive, but hopefully maybe it'll produce life. But I want you to know that as we come to Jesus Christ, we come to one who not only can give life, but one who is living. Tonight, there is a fellowship that we ought to enjoy just because Jesus Christ is alive. The fact of the matter is that it's rather difficult to have fellowship with a dogma or a doctrine, but it is precious to have a fellowship with Jesus Christ, who lives tonight. And this is the one we come to, and that's what we want to look into for a moment. There are some things that are said here. In fact, there's three things that are said about Jesus Christ, other than the fact that we're coming to the living stone, which identifies him as the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But we're told here that he's disallowed indeed of men. Oftentimes we'll ask ourselves, well, why don't folks see this? Why don't folks appreciate him? But by and large, the world has always disallowed Jesus Christ. They do not want to recognize him, because if we realize that Jesus Christ lives tonight and we've come to him for life, then that means that our Lord Jesus Christ has a claim on our lives. And he is disallowed indeed of men. I remember a college professor that I had years ago that sat in the class and mocked the story of creation. And he really mocked when he came to the place that he talked about the matter of sin. He made reference to the story in the book of Genesis, how that there was a garden and a tree that had fruit that was a forbidden fruit. And he said, this just is absolutely ridiculous. That was his attitude toward it. disallowing him, but I want you to know that he whom he disallowed is the most precious person in my life. And we're coming to our Lord Jesus Christ. The world may not have much to say. Men may not appreciate him as a whole. But I want you to know tonight that a believer that has been set free from the bondage of sin and death will appreciate Jesus Christ tonight. And he will become a very vital part of that believer's life. And the writer said that we're coming to a living stone. He may be disallowed by men, but he's the very chosen of God. Now, I don't have time nor necessarily the inclination to enlarge on this too far tonight, but do you realize that God had great opportunity of choice? Oh, I understand that it was in the eternal counsels of God that Jesus Christ would die on the cross. But there were a lot of options to God and a lot of choices that God could make. But there was only one that really satisfied the Father. And that takes us back to Isaiah chapter 53, where the writer said in prophecy, looking forward to that day that our Lord would die on the cross, when he shall see of the travail of his soul, he'd be satisfied. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost talked about one that was not only chosen of God, but delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Jesus Christ was chosen for a particular purpose. There's not any wonder that he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. When he came to the village of the Samaritans, they seemed to accept and rejoice for a time, but when they found out he was going on to Jerusalem, they just rejected him. But our Lord Jesus Christ would not be turned aside from his purpose. He would go to Jerusalem. And there he was chosen of God for one particular purpose. He was chosen to die in the place of sinners. So he's chosen of God, of all that have ever lived. And we look at it in the light of manhood tonight, because our Lord Jesus Christ did robe himself in the flesh of a man. Of all that have ever been born, including Adam, there's one that was chosen of God and accepted of God. And because God accepted him, you and I can be accepted in the blood tonight. And so he's chosen of God. Then I don't know that it is as an afterthought, but let's look at it for a moment. We have the one disallowed of men, chosen of God. And then he just wanted, I think, to sweeten it and said, and precious. And precious. Just the thought of tasting. How many tonight could go back in your mind and to a sweet memory and remember a particular dish that your mother or grandmother might have fixed, and you think, boy, that was precious when I came to that table and I tasted. And sometimes you might have been special enough that whenever you were announced that you were going to make a trip, there'd be special preparation made. And you say, boy, that's precious. I look forward to that. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is precious tonight. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll tell you, he's sweet to the taste. And he's sweeter than any honey out of the honeycomb. He's precious tonight. And the writer said he is precious. Then he speaks of us as lively stones, which would indicate that we have been made alive too. Our Lord Jesus Christ lives tonight, therefore we are made alive. He said, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Well, in this, that speaks of one who is constructing something, and thank God our Lord Jesus Christ is constructing something of us tonight. It pleases my heart to know that I have a place in the economy of God. Not only just to be saved, and that's a tremendous privilege tonight, the greatest gift ever given to man, but just to think that he's doing something for us and building us up for his own service and use and for his glory. The whole purpose of man is to glorify God. I mean, we don't have any other reason to exist tonight. And I present to you that we're built up a spiritual house. And then he said a holy priesthood. Now, there is one great high priest. But do you realize tonight that we are functioning? And actually, the priest functioned before God for another. That's basically what he did. Whenever an Israelite would bring an offering to the gate of that courtyard that was around the tabernacle, and it would be just inside that we'd find the brazen altar, the Israelite would bring that animal of sacrifice, and the priest would take it. The priest would go through the process of, before God, slaying that animal, sprinkling the blood, and offering the offering, letting the particular portion of that offering be burned so it was a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. That particular priest was functioning in behalf of that Israelite. Well, I understand that the great high priest entered into the presence of God. He consecrated a new way through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, that you and I might come into the presence of God. But God's building us up so that we can intercede. And keep that in mind as we'll come to the portion of the service tonight, as we take the request. God's built us up to pray for folks, to intercede for folks, to minister to and for folks before God. A holy priesthood. And then he said to offer spiritual sacrifices. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that there is one sacrifice that we can constantly offer. And that's just giving thanks to Christ's name. Just giving thanks to Christ's name. And we're built up for that purpose. I rather feel sorry for the Christian that does not mature enough in their experience to appreciate the place and be able to say with a real depth of soul and gratefulness of heart, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the chosen one that died in my place on an old rugged cross. And that thought would then permeate our minds. But you and I tonight have opportunity of spiritual sacrifices according to the Word of God. We can give thanks, but we can also speak of that one that's in need. The one that has not had the same privilege you have tonight to know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. We can call his name in the very presence of God tonight. And then we'll notice that all that we do is acceptable to God because we do it by Jesus Christ. We might be feeble in our prayer effort tonight, and most of us are. Sometimes I understand, I think, what Paul meant when he said that we just groan. We really want to pray, but we don't have words. But thank God, every opportunity of prayer, every statement that we make before God is acceptable because it's offered by Jesus Christ. Not because of us, but we have the privilege of offering it because Jesus Christ makes it acceptable in the sight of God tonight. And you and I, as believers, have that privilege to offer intercession to God for the sake of a soul, for the sake of a nation, for the sake of the glory of God tonight. We have the privilege of being built up because we're alive in Jesus Christ and we're accepted in the beloved, and our effort is acceptable